This podcast is a recording by staff at the IASB working on Phase 3, the hedge accounting phase of the project to replace IAS 39. It is part of a series of podcasts that will be recorded as you progress with the project. The podcast is intended to provide high-level information to help you become more familiar with the accounting issues involved. For more detailed information, please refer to the IASB website. Any views expressed in this podcast are my own views. Official positions of the IASB on accounting matters are determined only after extensive due process and deliberation. This podcast was recorded on the 29th of June 2010 and only considers tentative board decisions up to this date, which could be subject to change. Okay, the topic of this podcast is eligibility of net positions as hedged items. There are three areas I'd like to talk about. First, I will start with some background on the hedge accounting model in IAS 39 today, using a quick example of a net position to illustrate. Then I'll talk about the problems IAS 39 causes for entities that hedge on a net basis. And finally, a summary of the challenges we face in trying to develop a model where net positions can qualify for hedge accounting and our approach to address some of these issues. Okay, starting with IAS 39 today, using an example. Consider an entity with euro functional currency. The entity has some sales and purchases in US dollars. It hedges the net FX risk on both of these together. So if it has $100 of firmly committed sales in a given future period and $80 of firmly committed purchases in the same period, then it transacts a single FX forward, hedging the net position of $20. IAS 39 prohibits hedge accounting for a net position. So in this example, the entity cannot designate both the $100 of sales and $80 of purchases in a single hedge relationship. Instead, it must identify a gross position to designate if it chooses to hedge account. In this example, that is $20 of sales. So why does the model require designation of a gross position? At a high level, we can say the reason is because the IAS 39 hedging model is designed to mitigate recognition and measurement differences between hedging instruments and hedged items, not to mitigate differences between offsetting hedged items. So it isn't designed to deal with the offset of the sales against the purchases. Instead, it allows an entity to mitigate the differences arising from the FX forward. Whether this is appropriate or not is what we're in the process of discussing with the board. Now, the second area I wanted to talk about, the problems this restriction causes in practice. In some cases, the effect is minimal. In others, it's more pronounced. So sticking with my net position example, if the sales and purchases are recognised in the same reporting period, then the offsetting effect of the sales against the purchases is automatically presented on a net basis. So whether a gross position or a net position is designated doesn't impact the net result. Although by designating a gross position of only $20 of sales does mean that the offsetting effect of the FX forward is presented in the sales line, which can distort the results reported, because in fact both the sales and purchases have been hedged. The bigger problem arises when an entity hedges a net position consisting of items recognised in different reporting periods. Because here, by choosing a specific gross hedged item from the net position will mean that the offsetting gain or loss of the hedging instrument will be recognised in profit or loss to match that gross position in that reporting period. All other items recognised in other periods will just appear unhedged. So let me try and illustrate this. I'll extend my initial example. I initially hedged $100 of sales and $80 of purchases recognised in the same future reporting period. Now let's add to this, so we're now hedging the net result across two reporting periods. And in the second period, let's say there are $50 of sales and $40 of purchases, i.e. a net position of $10. So the cumulative net position across the two reporting periods is the $20 of sales in the first period, plus the $10 of sales in the second period. This adds up to a cumulative net position of $30 of sales. Now, if the entity transacts a single FX forward to hedge that $30 net position across the two periods, when it comes to hedge accounting, under IAS 39, it has to designate a single gross position. Now, the only matching items would be sales in the second period, because the derivative goes out to the second period. But if it designates this in the hedge, all other transactions recorded in the other reporting period will appear unhedged. This is despite the fact that it's hedged all sales and purchases across two periods on a net basis. To make matters worse, in some cases, there may not even be a gross hedged position that sufficiently matches the hedging instrument to be able to designate it in a hedge, so no hedge relationship can be established. The result of this problem is either financial reporting doesn't provide useful information, or the accounting drives the entity to change its risk management approach to hedge on a gross basis instead of a net basis. Neither outcome is good, which is why the board is considering the merits of a hedge accounting model where net positions are eligible. Okay, so I've talked you through the background and the impact of the IAS 39 model. Now let me explain some of the challenges we face in trying to fix this in the new model. As a starting point, we've identified three key areas to address. We refer to these as the where, when, and what issue. Let me take each in turn. The where issue we identify as an income statement geography problem. Where in the income statement do we show the offsetting effects of the hedging instrument if the items being hedged affect more than one line item? Using my initial example, do we show the offset only in the sales line, or do we show it in both the sales and purchase line, or do we show it in a separate line altogether? So that's the where issue. Now, the when issue refers to when to recognise the offsetting effects of the hedging instrument if the items in the net position affect different reporting periods. So where we hedge the net position over two reporting periods, how do we show the effect of the single derivative over both of those periods? And finally, the what issue. This refers to how to identify the hedged item. This is an issue because a net position can be created in many different ways. For example, the net position of $20 that was made up of $100 of sales and $80 of purchases could have equally been made up of a portion of sales. So let's say $60 of sales and a portion of the purchases, let's say $40 of purchases. Or it could have been made up of $30 of sales and $10 of purchases. These three issues arise because the premise of hedge accounting is to match the gain or loss on the hedging instrument with the hedged item. Hedge accounting on a gross basis makes this matching easier, but it's often inconsistent with the way in which entities hedge risk in practice. But on the flip side, trying to develop an accounting model to fit with risk management practices introduces complexities, especially when working with the basic premise that hedging effectiveness must be recognised in profit or loss immediately. So finally, how is the staff approaching these issues with the board? The issues and challenges are best considered in the context of different types of net positions. In practice, there are a number of different characteristics of net positions. To name a few, a net position can consist of existing items versus anticipated items, or it can be hedged for financial risks versus non-financial risks, or it can be made up of a closed portfolio or an open portfolio where new items are added over time. To date, the board has considered the where and when issue in the context of closed portfolios of existing non-financial firm commitments hedged for FX risk. Other examples, say of forecast transactions, which have different consequences, will soon follow. That brings me to the end of this short podcast. I hope you found it useful. If you have any comments or thoughts on the topics covered, please contact us. The staff's contact details can be found on the Hedge Accounting Project page on the IASB's website.